It's in my spirit again this morning that God isn't done with you yet. Please understand that. Well, I don't care how bad you feel this morning. I don't care what you've been through this past week. I don't care how many times you denied Him this past week. He isn't done with you yet. As long as you're not done with Him. I want to share this illustration and hopefully it'll make sense. But my bride here said, Carol, will you marry me? And she says, yes, you will. Wow. Would be my bride. So hang on a second. Here, I even get your wedding gown for you, honey. There, put your arms through there. You have to put it all the way on, but there. Wow. You'll be my bride. Man, beautiful. Wow, that's awesome. Listen. Yeah, I'll tell you. When I get done with you, you'll never have to do any housework again. You'll have everything be done for you. I love you so much. But listen. I have to go away. I have to go and prepare a place for you. Okay, but listen. Where I'm going to go, I promise you I'll come back and receive you. That way where I'm going to be at, you're going to be there also. But I will be back because I love you and I care for you. So I'm going to leave to prepare for a place. So while I'm gone, here she is. She's so excited. And what I give her in the pocket of her gown, and she picks it up and she reads it. Read it out loud. Back up again. Oh, I'm so excited. She's going to be the bride of Starkey Lawrence, someone that she loves, fell in love with. Man. Wow. So the next morning she gets up. Ah, man, is he coming back today? She gets out the envelope. She gets out that document I gave her, my promise I gave her, and she reads it.
I love you, Carol. I'll give my life for you.
Puts it back away. Yeah. And so it goes on. The next morning she gets up. Folded it up. Now, several months goes by. She's not reading it as quite as often as she was at one time. She's excited because, man, Starkey's coming back for me. Wow. Then all of a sudden, here comes Joe. Come here, Joe. I'll borrow you. And Joe comes along. And he says, hey, remember that Friday night? And you go, well, no. You can stand over beside her, okay? I mean, you don't have to say nothing, but it's just going on. I'm out Friday night. Well, I'm engaged. But my husband's coming. He's come and get me. Well, where is he at? Well, I'm not sure, but he'll come. So Joe hangs around for a while, okay? Day after day, kind of boom, boom, boom. And then pretty soon, here comes Corey. And Corey comes around. He starts doing the same thing. Hey, are you going to go out tonight? Well, I think I will. Wow, she gave in. Oh, man, I mean, my bride, the one that's laid my life down for you, she gave in. Oh, no, and here comes Jim Domer. Jim Domer comes along. He has a work Friday, so he wants to go on Saturday night. We growl and say, well, I might as well. And look at it, here we are. My bride, the one that I said I laid my life down for, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come back and receive you. Wow, look what's going on. So all of a sudden, boom. Hey, Carol! Woohoo! I got the place prepared for you. I'm ready. What happened? I told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll be back. Man, I even give you a document. What happened? You're not worthy of me. What happened? What happened to my bride who was so excited for me? What happened? Oh, get it here. She got wrapped up in life. And what she forgot to do that made all the difference. If you're going to open it up and read it, Carol. Read it again, Carol. Read it louder. My life for you. Oh, I will come prepared. But listen, as she reads that, and these temptation comes around, if she would have cried out and said, Starkey, help me, I don't want this, I don't want this, what will take place? Look at that. Get out, 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 you, get out. Don't you ever come around my bride again. Stay back. I'll protect my bride. So if she concentrates on my word, when she's encouraged, man, if he'll lay his life down for me, Starkey, I need help. Here I am. And folks, this is the Master saying to each one of us today. You're no different. You're his bride. And he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Think of that. And best way to be encouraged. Only way to be encouraged is to read his love note he gives us. And that love note, folks, you find it right here. Right here, daily. I mean, if she would have stayed in my love note to her daily, every day, read that thing, he's coming back for me, temptations would come around. Hey, man, where's he at? I don't think he's coming back, man. I mean, look at me. I got a farm. I got this. I got that. And her mind can start wondering, well, maybe he's not. Maybe he's not. But I ask you today, did the Master say that I go prepare a place for you? If I prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you where I am also. But he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Oh, I say, I'm coming back for those who love me. Truly have. Amen? Many can find themselves left behind when the Master comes back for his church, when he comes back for his bride, spotless. Many will be left behind because they're not without spot and wrinkle. And that spot and wrinkle comes through the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. Amen. Listen up, guys. You're going to be tempted until we hear the trumpet sound, okay? And sometimes you're going to get weak, and sometimes you might even fall, but get back up again. But get back in this Word like never before. Get in this Word. Consume the Lord every day. And He will give you the strength to get through it. Oh, I tell you, He knows what it means to be human form. The Bible says He was tempted in every way, but He never sinned. Never sinned. And look at how much communication Jesus had with the Heavenly Father. That gave him the strength. The Holy Spirit gave him strength. He's coming back. Many times he says, consume me. Consume me. See, just hearing that word of God makes it just knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. He makes us perfect in every way. His perfect. He says, all righteousness is like filthy rags, but he cleanses us. We have a desire for Him. Those thoughts that come into your head, take them captive and kick them back out. The devil will try to sweet talk you. He'll try to make everything look better. He'll try to bring doubt into your mind. From the very beginning in the garden, did he say, right away, bringing doubt into her head? Carol cannot doubt that I love her. If she reads that every day, I got it right here. I got a document. It says right here, Starkey loves me. Woo-wee. Amen? No. Well, I'm going to hide that from you for later on. But she reminded me. Why am I going through this? I'm not sure, but God loves me. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to leave me. He'll be with me through it all. He'll bring me through the storms of life. He never promised me easy sailing. He didn't tell me my heart would never be broken. He never said I wouldn't cry. But he said, I'll be with you. I'll bring you through that. Because the greater day for us is in heaven. But the greatest day for the church, his body, is today. So please, Don't give up. Don't write yourself off. Just get in that word like never before and follow the Master. Amen? Amen. Here comes the bride. Like the Lord was saying, you know, through Ryan there, it's not a checklist that we go through. We just love the Master and we follow Him. Amen? And with a heart that truly loves Him, man, He can do a lot of things. A lot of things. But today we want to break bread. Have communion. One of the things the Master told us to do. And He did that to encourage us. So I'm going to share just a few points of it today. I'm going to start here in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter. And the title of mine is called the Lord's Supper. Chapter 22 of Luke. It's spoken in different places in the Gospel, but this is the one I'm using in Luke. I got to get a sip of water here somewhere. Remember, God's always here to encourage us. He's never here to condemn us. Satan, he wants to condemn you, but not God. He is here. He's here to convict us. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. But when He brings that conviction, He also brings restoration if we allow Him. Never be afraid to say, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't care if you're on the ground and you can't get back. You call upon the name of the Lord. If you think there's no way out of whatever's got you chained right now, think, I've tried, well, quit trying. Give it. Just call on the Lord and say, "Jesus, help me." He'll show up in such an awesome way. And He'll deliver you to all those who want to be delivered. Amen? He will do that. So don't ever say, "No, I can't do it." Satan will get in your head and say, "What do you live for anymore? Why do you go on living? Why do you go on taking oxygen out of the earth?" He'll convince you whatever you have done, you should be so ashamed of yourself, and you just might as well go ahead and kill yourself. He's a liar. Understand that. Because He knows the power in you is the Spirit of the living God. And He knows how strong that you are and how awesome that you are in the eyes of the Lord and that you can overcome anything. And the only way He can get you is get into your head and bring doubt into your mind about what the Word of God says. That's why, again, consuming this Word. Living, eating it. I mean, I got born again. I had a little baby Bible. New Testament Bible gave to me. Put in the back pocket of my uniform. Every time it was time for a break, I popped that out, had my coffee, and read the Word. Just started consuming. I couldn't get enough of it. And that's where God wants us to be. And if you have to force feed yourself. If you say, "Well, I don't feel like reading the Bible today," good. That's a good day to read it. Because these are the devils trying to keep you out of it. You know, amen. Amen. He will do that. But in the 22nd chapter of Luke, verse 14, it's written here, documented by the doctor. He says, "When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with them. And He said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And then He had taken a cup and given thanks, and He said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" So what He was doing around the table, He was demonstrating something, and they weren't quite sure what He was doing yet. But He took bread. He took bread and He broke it. "Eat of this. This is my body. It's being broken for you." This literally was not the master's body. This was a representation saying, hey, listen, boom, eat of this. Then at the same time he took the cup of the fruit of the vine, and he said, listen, consume this, drink of this. This is my blood. This is a sign of the new everlasting covenant, the last covenant between man and God. Now do this in remembrance of me. The juice wasn't his blood. The bread wasn't his body. But they represented it. The bread itself would have been unleavened bread. There had been no yeast in it. Yeast represents sin in the Bible. This has been really, really flat and crunchy. Okay? So this is my body. So by looking at it, they're celebrating the Passover Jesus was. So looking at it, it'd be flat. It didn't taste the greatest, okay? But no leaven in it. For it represents sin. Now the cup that he passed around, and people have debated over the year whether it was real wine, wasn't real wine. And the master called it the fruit of the vine. He said, now, this is my blood. Now I ask you today, did Jesus ever sin? Did death have anything on Jesus? No, okay. So when he passed around the fruit of the cup, I truly believe that this was squeezed from the vine, grape juice. It wasn't wine, okay? Now, I believe he really changed the water into wine. It was real wine, okay? But he said, this represents me. If this had been wine, wine is fermented grapes, dead grapes. The master had no sin. This cannot represent his blood if it had been fermented. Amen? So I believe the apostle is not quite understanding everything, but they would understand this. And when they drank from it, okay, that's not wine, okay? Now later on, in just a few days, they would have a greater understanding of what the master did. Several other places Jesus talked about his body. And sometimes people get confused, or even some religions. Jesus said in John 6:40, I'm going to give you a few scriptures, you can follow me, write them down, but just see what has been building up. He says, John 6:41. In 6:41 it says, the Jews were grumbling about Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? And Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which come down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also lives because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. And these things Jesus said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, which they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus is conscious that his disciples grumbled at this and said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit of who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. There are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it be granted to me from the Father.'" And he made that statement. Many of them quit following Jesus. Now, when Jesus was saying this, when he's speaking, folks, he didn't tear off a finger or an arm and pass it around so he could consume my flesh. He didn't bleed himself out in a cup to drink of this. No, he did not. When we look at, we look in John, if you go to John 1:1, the Word of God speaks to us. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Then go down to verse 14 of John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the one only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word of God. The Word of God became flesh. So the Word of God became flesh. Became flesh and walked among us. He had to come in the flesh in order to have power on the earth, because God gave man dominion. Amen? Give me a second, Ryan, boy, a second. So, the Word became flesh. Boom. And Jesus said, "Okay, I want you to consume me. I want you to eat of my flesh. I want you to drink of my blood." So what is the substance of Jesus? It's not His arm. It's not His eyes. It's the Word of God. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. So what He is saying to His disciples, He's saying this to us today. Consume all of this. Eat all of this. Consume the Word. That is where your strength is. The blood of Jesus brought us out of darkness. The blood saves us. And the meat strengthens us. So when He says these things, consume, consume, it's just a... He didn't say... Oh, go ahead, brother. He never once says, nibble. You know, maybe help somebody out here today. Maybe you've been doing awesome, but you've been nibbling. Okay? You grab a verse here and there. Okay? Awesome. I'm glad you're in it. But you're going to be successful. You're going to have strength. You're going to overcome these things in your life right now that you're struggling with. Consume this, because this here will push out everything else out of your life. You can't have the other stuff come in your life if you're so busy with this. Amen? But it was the Word of God became flesh. So as Jesus walked among us, it was like, I have an app on my phone today. I can push a button, and this Word of God will speak to me. It will say, is what I just read to you, my Bible read that to me, okay? It's kind of like, the Word became flesh. Follow me. Don't let me lose you on this. Okay? So, I would not say today that, hey, my phone said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. I will say, man, God says. Because the phone was just speaking what God's already said. Jesus came upon this earth to speak what God's already said. And when he said, you got to consume me, he came as the living word. Consume my word. And the difference it will make. Thanks, son. Appreciate it. You never know. You come to church and your mom becomes a bride and you become Jesus. So I want to jump back in the Old Testament for a second. And what I like to do is share with you from Exodus 12 and 13. I like to just bring it all together, okay? And so I want to share the content of what's going on here. And you can read more in detail later on. And a lot of us know we celebrate Passover here every year. That's one of the feasts we'll always do. Passover, Pentecost, and we just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacle. But we find God's people being in captivity. They went from being blessed because of Joseph and interpreting the dream of the fat cows and the skinny cows. And over the next 430 years altogether, they find themselves in slavery. They find these people of God, God's chosen people, in slavery. And they get tired of crying out, God, come and rescue us. God, save us. God, yes, we turn our backs on you. God, forgive us. I mean, at this time, all the people who are there have never, ever experienced life without being slaves. Think of that. In slavery, born, but they heard the old stories. It's kind of like we talk about the, hey, I can tell you times we used to pray in school. We used to say the Lord's Prayer. You know? What, you did? You weren't arrested? No. What happened? Oh, we shut up and sat down. What do you think is important? Teacher read the Bible? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, it just, and he, oh wow, that was awesome. Yeah, and mommy and daddy would gather around the table at night and they'd read from the Bible. Oh wow. And they did this and did that. We all go back somewhere and think, man, we don't have this anymore. And so that's what they're living on right now. I remember a time that we were free people and we did this and that. And they're crying out, God, we need your help. God, forgive us. Well, God tells us. If his people would seek and repent, remember, turn from a wicked way, God heard him in heaven. Okay. So, okay. And he raises up somebody that no one ever thought would be used by God, Moses. Moses committed a murder, took off, ran. Now he's herding sheep. And God raises Moses up to use him. First of all, the people didn't recognize Moses as being used by God, and they rejected him. But as time went on, man, they saw that truly Moses was talking for God. Maybe not the way we might. If we selected leaders ourselves, we might not voted on Moses. You know what I'm saying? We might voted on Pharaoh. But they recognized what God was doing through Moses. And so we had the nine plagues. You all familiar? Everybody familiar with the plague, the frogs and the gnats and the okay. So they've done all that, and Pharaoh still refuse to let him go. After all that. A couple of times he agreed to it, then he changed his mind. So God says, okay, Moses, have the people find a lamb. Go find a lamb without spot or blemish. It has to be perfect. It's going to be a cute little thing. And I want you to bring it into the house I want you to keep her there for 4 days. And I can see him having this little lamb in there bouncing around, shampooing, you know, the hair blowing. Oh, you ever see a lamb jump? I mean, it's wee. Oh, wow. Mm. Beautiful. I mean, a baby lamb is innocent. Hasn't done anything wrong. He says, now, Moses, on the fourth day, you're going to take a knife, you're going to cut his throat. And you're going to take the blood of this lamb, and you're going to mark your doorpost. And then you're going to take this lamb, and you're going to put the lamb, and you're going to cook it. You're not going to boil it. Don't boil this. You're going to cook it on the fire completely. And then you're going to eat every part of it. The entrails, everything. You're going to consume it. You tell the people to do that. Because I'm sending the death angel out. And the firstborn of every household shall die. But those that I see the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the death angel will pass over. Now I can imagine Moses explaining this to people, okay? Wow. But praise God, what they had to go on was the last 9 plagues. They saw God working through Moses. They knew that Moses was hearing from God. Amen? Amen? Were they hearing from him? Okay, this sounds kind of weird, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And so that evening, that night, on the fourth day, they did exactly what he said. And he took that lamb, and they cooked it, and ate every part of it. Now, Dad, I don't eat the guts. Come on. Listen, God said to consume it, and you're going to consume it. I don't like it. Eat it anyway. And they consume that. Well, it's hard to eat, man. Mm. I know. If Fernando was there, he'd have the hot sauce on it, okay? But the thing of it is, you would have ate it. And then that night at midnight, they cry out, ah! The death angel came through. And the firstborn of the household that was not covered under the blood died. And Pharaoh said, okay, get your people and get out of here. Okay. Before we go, they went around the Egyptians, they said, give me your gold, give me your silver, give me this, give me that. And they packed up. And they left all them years of being in slavery. All that stuff they'd been in, man, been delivered. The enemy was actually building things up for God's people. And they left. And in Psalms 105, I want to show you something. King David has a document in his history report here. It says, Psalms 105:37. And he brought them out with silver and gold. And among his tribes there was not one who stumbled. There was not one who was feeble. There was not one who was weak. Obedient to God, they consumed the lamb. See, the blood protected them. But the lamb strengthened them. Consume me. And you know what they did? God said, now if you've got any left over, don't leave it behind. Yeah, burn it up. Burn it up. Leave nothing behind. But they were obedient to God. Not one. So we know they all consumed the lamb because not one of them was feeble. Think of that. Mm-mm-mm. They didn't get very far until they started complaining. This God who delivered them, they ran into a Red Sea, and we should have stayed back here. They started. They started taking away that moment what God had planned for them. Understand that. They started complaining. They let unwholesome speech come into their household. They let unwholesome speech come into the Word of God. They're mixing up the Word of God. Oh, we should have stayed there. What? But God just delivered you. He consumed the lamb. You got strength now. Not one person here is feeble. I mean, the one who was bad was walking straight up. Now they were set free. But one person started complaining. And it catches on, don't it? And there's Moses, okay? Thank God. Thank God for Moses. He still had faith. And his faith opened up the Red Sea with God's hands. Amen? And they come across. And it wasn't too many days later they started complaining again because now they got tired of manna. God was going to feed them. Well, you want something else. What would happen if somebody wrote, hey, shut your mouth. Don't you talk about our God. Jehovah brought us this far. I will not have you destroying the reputation of our God. You don't like it? Get out. I'm not going to pay the price for your disobedience. If someone would have said that, everybody jumped on the bandwagon. You're right. I want quail. I want this. An 11-day journey turned into 40 years. And none of them who was set free from Egypt entered the promised land because of complaint, failure to honor God and trust God. 11-day journey, and they all lived 40 more years. I've been 39 years and 50 months in the land of Goshen. And then go home. If they could go back and do it over again, I believe no one opened their mouth up. They've been thanking God all the way. Thank you, God, for the Red Sea. So, you're going to show me how powerful you are. Thank you, God, for bringing me through. Thank you for manna. Thank you that I'm not starving to death. See, the Bible says, don't let one unwholesome thing come out of your mouth. Why? Because it's detrimental to you and those around you. But look at the youngsters, though. The youngsters, man. When the parents said enough, enough, they cried out to God. They got set free from being slaves. They had to think about the next generation. And Jesus tells us the same thing. He's telling you the same thing today, but using himself. Consume me. Don't nibble on me. Don't let me just be a Sunday afternoon delight. Consume me. And when you consume me, wow, I'll strengthen you. My blood covers you. But let me consume you. Take me all in. Because it's not about us. It's about them. And the next generations. Paul even goes on to say, hey, watch out. And I think in 1 Corinthians he talks about but taking communion. He says, now watch out. Don't take this in an unworthy manner. Because many of us or ill and fallen asleep. Otherwise died. Because not seeing, not consuming the Word of God as it is. Hey, I'll break bread today. Okay? And it's awesome communion, but communion is reminding you of the death of Jesus. Reminding us that He died on the cross for us. Amen? And that death has brought us salvation. But likewise, through the salvation, His Word, He said, consume my Word, it brings us health, it brings us healing, it brings us strength, it gives us tomorrow and the next day. Every day that He's purposed for us will take place. He had days numbered for those being free from Egypt. But He had those days numbered to be in the land of Goshen. And they spent it round and round and round. They knew Moses was a man of God. They knew Moses was speaking for God. They saw the hand of God work through Moses. But they didn't keep themselves in check. Apparently they didn't read that love letter, did they? They weren't recommended. And Jesus, same way, does Jesus speak for God? He said, have you seen me? You've seen my Father. So we know exactly that what He is speaking is true. And if He is the bread of life that came down from heaven, eat of this, consume it. Eat my flesh, drink of my blood. He's not He's not asking us to do that. He's telling us to do that. If you're going to be a part of me, do this. I'm going to work through you. I'll strengthen you. But look what I'm going to do through you. And that's where he's at today. He's looking again for that remnant. He's trying to bring the body of Christ back up. He's trying to get followers sold out to him 100%. And as we go through this, no, he's with us. You're sitting here today, somebody is, and you think, man, I just can't, I don't know if I can do it much more. You know, my head is telling my body, I need to do this. And my body's saying, hey, right. Amen? Most of us today is here on the backside of 30. Or the 40 or 50, okay? When our head tells our body to do something, our body says, listen, no, maybe 30 years ago, but not today, okay? But we turn this around for a minute and realize that we are the body of Jesus and Christ is the head of the church. So when the head tells the body, I need you to do this, he's talking to us in a spiritual realm, okay? Today, each one of us should be stronger today in the spirit we was last year and year before. We should be growing. We get stronger as we go because we're feasting more on the Word, more on the Word, more on the Word. Man, when you speak, man, things take place. That's where God wants us to be. When we speak, earth shatters, demons tremble, because we are sold out to God. That's where he wants us to be at today. Each one of us. Moses was on the backside of 30. Backside of 80. But you notice what he did. His body couldn't respond like it used to. Great warrior he was. Come on, guys! You find him a lot of part of his life praising God for strength for Joshua, because Joshua had a great battle he was fighting, and he needed prayers of a godly man to strengthen him to do what God's called him to do. And Moses was more powerful than he was in the beginning. Consumed the Lord, he stood for God. No matter what happened, he stood for God. Even interceded when God wanted to wipe everybody out. Wait, we got, hang on. So that's where a lot of us are at today. Be strong spiritually. We're praying for guys like Bob right here. Bob, how old are you, Bobby? 14 years old. He's got greater battle to fight than you and I ever thought of. Okay, the devil's running crazy. He wants to destroy this man. Everything around him. He needs our prayers to intercede, to strengthen him, to walk upright in the eyes of the Lord and be what God's called him to do. Yes, we might be in a different season. But man, the season we're in, man, we need to consume that word like never before. The battle is shorter. The days of his return is near. He wants to find us faithful with them. And that's the issue there, guys. Consuming that word. Pulling that Bible out every day. As Carol pulled out that document that says, I love you. I love you. Okay, he's not here, but okay, he loves me. I know he's coming back. And encouraging. And Carol could have someone else with her. Hey, you're my bridesmaid, okay? Yes, Starkey said he loved you. He's coming back. Come on, hang in there. And don't pay no attention to the world. To encourage one another. And we all go through those moments in life. We go, we're on top of the mountain. We can take on Goliath and his four other brothers. You know what I'm saying? And the next morning you get up and you're down in the valley. You can't even fight yourself, put your shoes on. Amen? But see, we're here to strengthen one another, pray for one another, to pray for the body. That's what Jesus wants us to do. So we'll have communion this morning. We'll break the bread, drink from the cup, and remind us that Christ died for us, but he wants us to continue to consume all of him, all the word. And when you find a word that you like, when you find a word that you don't like it, when it tells you, hey, shut up, when it says, quit your gossiping, quit talking about other people, quit doing this, doing that, rejoice. Because he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, amen? And he will give you the strength to overcome anything if you cry out to him. You might have to move, but he'll give you the strength to move. There's nothing here that you cannot do except something that you really don't want to do. I don't care what it is. You say, well, I'm trying to do this, but, well, okay, well, you don't want to do it very bad. Because if you want to do it, you're going to find a way of doing it. Hey, yeah, I want to lose 20 pounds, okay? All right. And I sit down at the table, and I got a little bowl of kale to eat it, and there's like 20 donuts around me, okay? Oh, man, look at this. Oh, Did God give me two arms? Two legs? Push myself away from the table. Do I really want it? Boom! What's in your life that you want to get rid of? What's in your life that's holding you back? Call upon the Lord. He'll give you the strength to do that. You have to exercise the strength. He'll give it to you. It could be a struggle. It could be a fight. But when you get set free from that thing, woo, praise God. All the energy you use doing whatever you're doing, be put towards the Lord. And all the finance you might be spending doing what you're doing can be put toward the gospel of Jesus. Amen. So he'll strengthen you. Like Carol did, call out, Starkey! I come running. I am nobody. Who's Jesus? Wow. You're not defeated yet. You're not defeated. So we're going to take a moment and just have yourself share yourself in with the Lord and just pour your heart out to him. Just let him talk to you, be encouraged. And then as you want to take communion, you won't come down, I'll have communion up here. You can take it on your own, just come and take communion. I'll be holding it. And go back to your seat. But this is a solemn time, a quiet time, locked in with him. Say, yes, Lord, more of you. God, forgive me for my failure. Yes, I had opportunities to do different things, but I did it anyway. But God, I ain't done yet. When you tell God you're not done yet, boy, I'm telling you, boy, okay, come on, guys. I ain't done with you yet either. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who love him and desire to be like him. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you for those who came before us. We thank you that we have greater understanding of the Scripture and what it means to consume you, Jesus. We thank you that we do have a Bible, your holy word. As we read it, it does encourage us. It strengthens us. God, every time we read it, we get greater understanding that you did send your word and became flesh and lived among us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us how that word makes a difference in our lives. And our desire is to be like you, Master. We continue to seek to forgive us of our sins. We thank you we're under the blood. And we know, Father, you sent your word in the flesh and it brought healing to our bodies. So, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters that they may be strengthened in their faith, that they may be encouraged, that they're not done with them yet, Lord. And, Lord, for those who are ailing in the church this morning, we just speak healing over them, that their faith will grow. We lift up John Kimmerer today, Father God, and we just continue to speak against that cancer upon his body, Lord, and all those today under affliction, Lord, that through your word, that healing will take place, strengthen them, God. Let us know how much you love and care for them. We thank you for raising up Edie. Oh, Lord, what a blessing it was to see her this week, Father. That you're not done. That your word is alive. Your word is alive. The spoken word of God is our strength. So, Lord, just fill us this morning. Bring to our attention anything, Father God, that's been detrimental. One thing that maybe we didn't know we had in our heart. You say we judge ourselves, and you have to judge us. Our desire is to please you. Forgive us, and may we be followers of you, Lord. To Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen.